So the thing about comedy is, when it's good, it's really good. But when it's bad, it's painful. Like, it hurts. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we're asking a pretty simple question. Is Kansas City funny? National comics are taking things in exciting new directions. Humor podcasts are developing a following. Audiences for comedy are turning into their own mini subcultures. But is all that happening here? Plus, KCUR's Jenny Witte delivers a stand-up routine. After this news. We're at a local comedy club in the Northland. Rod Reyes has a stand-up routine showing off what he's learned about the Kansas City area since moving here from New York.
They say Americans don't know geography, but I actually came to Kansas City knowing that there were two Kansas Cities. Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas. But I will admit that I thought they were two vast and diverse entities. I thought, geographically, Kansas City, Missouri would be here and Kansas City, Kansas would be out there.
Kansas City could have a whole subgenre of comedy all about the state line. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we're dipping into Kansas City's comedy scene. Are we keeping pace with what's happening around the country? Let's get some thoughts on that. We've got a few comedians in the room, but our first guest this morning is AJ Finney. He's a nationally touring comedian based out of Buffalo, New York. He got his start here in Kansas City, and he's back for a weekend of gigs. Welcome home, AJ.
Thank you.
When did you get your start in comedy?
I started doing open mics in 2003.
That's pretty recent.
Here in Kansas City. Yeah.
So when did you leave?
I left in 2010.
What was your experience of the Kansas City comedy scene when you were in it?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, in 2003, I think we had a really big scene. There were a lot of guys that were doing progressive things. And I felt like at one point, maybe in 2004, on a Wednesday, you could get on stage sometimes three times in a week on one day. So, and you could get hit a stage probably every day of the week.
Where were these stages?
Well, there were comedy clubs. So you had Stanford's, you had the Improv, and then there was a place called Jilly's, the Point, the Bulldog, and then a couple other local places.
How were the audiences there?
They were a lot of fun. Some places were really rowdy. I can vaguely remember a couple late night shows at the Point, literally getting on stage and maybe forgetting that I was going on last and having a few too many. And by the time I would get up there, you might just fall over.
You might.
You might. I would say I did. At one point, I can remember going, hey, everybody, we're going to have a good show, and thinking I could use the pit of my elbow to hold myself on the mic stand, which is impossible sober. And then I just went, so this is going to be a good... And then a buddy of mine going, show's over.
Oh, man. Well, so this sounds like at least a lively scene. And I'm wondering, when you talked about it being progressive, exactly what you meant by that.
I mean that at the time, and of course I was a novice, so I didn't really know, but there were people at the time. We had in Kansas City, Chris Porter, Nikki Glaser, Mike Baldwin. I'm trying to think of some other guys around that time. James Inman, maybe James Johan. I think Nick Griffin actually was from here.
So these are some names, but for people who aren't familiar with the names and the kind of comedy they're doing, how would you describe it?
Well, individually, it's a lot different. But I would say that they were doing things that I think with Porter a lot, with me, I related to what it was he was doing. And I felt like a lot of people kind of got behind that. And with James also, James Johan, like he had a very lovable character in the sense that he related to a, I don't want to say blue collar, but very much a blue collar upbringing in the sense of the Midwest. I felt like everyone could relate to that.
So there's some character development on the part of the comic, him or herself. We haven't talked about any hers, but.
You said Nikki?
Yeah, I said Nikki.
Oh, okay.
But Nikki was originally, she started in St. Louis and then came to Kansas City. I think she was going to KU. And then we were all together, I think, in Chicago when she actually got her audition at Last Comic.
So, but character development, it sounds like, is a big part of it. Like the person on stage is performing as a character.
Well, I don't want to say that because I do feel as though those individuals that I brought up, that is them. Like that is it.
They're being themselves.
Yeah, being themselves, maybe heightened a little bit because you do have to entertain at some point. But I feel their writing style is a direct relation to who they are as an individual, both on and off stage.
So why did you move away from Kansas City?
I feel like, well, I moved, I mean, part of it was marriage. And the other part is,
congratulations.
Oh, thank you. That sounded so negative. I was like, thanks. But no, I mean, part of it was marriage. I think the other thing is, by animal instinct, I think we, you know, much like animals, I feel like we have how would I say this? Animals migrate for more plentiful food sources, right? So as an animal instinct, the same we are, we move towards to industries that may provide more opportunities for us.
So in general, and forgive me if this is just a perception on my part, but it does seem like there was a time that I can remember in my lifetime when stand-up comedy tended to be maybe a little lame, and you'd get like a standard roll call of predictable jokes.
What do you mean lame?
Well, like, really, it seemed like there was a sort of predictable, like, predictable kind of bathroom humor. Not just that it was bathroom humor, but that it was very predictable and, like, that there was a predictable kind of joke about, like, dating or sex life and, like, that it was, yeah, like...
Airplane humor, is this where we're going? Like,
maybe.
Hack premises, things that have been overdone several times.
Yeah, exactly. But now it does seem like now that more and more really interesting stuff is rising to the surface where even people who aren't super deep in the comedy scene can access it. Has something changed or am I imagining this?
No, I think what's happening is people are now easily accessing comedy and where it's going via the internet. I think that social media has really exploded. So in the sense that if I have a joke and somebody else has a joke and then we see that similarity or somebody else notices it, then it's brought to the attention. Where before, maybe if there was no social media where someone could throw it up, it was people sitting around a coffee table, you know, drinking coffee, talking, coming up with jokes, and then it's a race to whoever gets it to television. Well, now social media has almost taken the place of television.
What do you think is the perception of Kansas City out on the road? You tour a lot.
Yeah, I think Kansas City does not have any type of negative connotation to it, though early on I remember people saying that for some reason we grew blue comics.
Explain what you mean by that.
Blue is a term that essentially means somewhat dirty or raw comedians. So so more on the edge, I guess. Which I don't know where that came from or, you know, where it grew from. I don't necessarily see it now.
Do Kansas City audiences have a reputation on the road?
Not really. I mean, as far as the Midwest goes, some people think that I don't know. I think that Kansas City does have an intelligent comedic audience, especially from where you go. I mean, you've got people coming in from, say, areas like Lawrence, which is an art school, and they've got a different perception than, say, somebody who's coming in from a smaller town. So you get that melding pot in an audience, and I think that's wonderful.
Can we talk about Louis C.K.'s routine about Kansas City? He's kind of a cult favorite, I'd say, and he finds ways to get in digs about Kansas City every chance he gets. Here's an example from one of his shows.
Last time I got high, I was in Kansas City, and I got high because I was in Kansas City. And it was So after the show, these kids that worked at the club, they're like, you want to smoke some pot? I'm like, yes. So I'm standing in a parking lot with these kids, like 20 years old, and we're smoking a joint. And I'm taking huge hits because I had no idea. I didn't know they'd been working on this shit like it's the cure for cancer. I didn't understand the fucking technology that's gone into making pot so powerful. Because when I was a kid, you could just smoke a joint for a while. Now you take two hits and you go insane. It's not doable anymore. And I was taking big hits, like big 1970s jean jacket Bad Company hits. Here come the jesters! One, two, three! I'm like, yeah. And in about 10 seconds, everything just and I'm like, oh, this is an ordeal now.
So we actually tried to get a hold of Louis C.K. to ask him why he hates us so much. But as of today, no response. Maybe I'm looking for some help here. Does Kansas City have a reputation among comics, or is this Louis C.K.'s personal hangout?
That doesn't even sound like a negative thing about Kansas City to me. It sounds like he's saying that Kansas City has amazing marijuana.
Plus, that's hacky anyway. Skip Louis. Nobody cares about Louis C.K. He's a bum.
Well, now.
I get tired. Don't rag on my city. I'm from Kansas City. Louis C.K. is a bum. If he has a problem with our marijuana, don't smoke it. It's more for the rest of us, all right?
So this is a perfect time to introduce our other guests in the room. Let's bring our other local guys. Our local guys in on this one. Mike Smith, welcome to Central Standard. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
And Dustin Kaufman, host of Cough Drops. What's going on?
Hey, good morning.
Dustin, in the interest of full disclosure, I do need to reveal that you stole my brother's name, and we've talked about this before.
Gina's dad was my birth doctor, and I'm just a little bit older than her brother, Justin.
Like by a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and her dad told my mom they were thinking about naming their son Dustin. So my mom became a name bandit.
Just lifted
and
it.
And just stole her birth doctor's baby's name.
We're cool with it, but I feel like I need to disclose that little history between us. But I want to talk a little bit more about audiences. How would you guys here in the room, especially our local guys, describe Kansas City comedy audiences? Because an audience is a big part of being able to have a sophisticated and diverse scene. Mike?
Unsupportive, and they should be ashamed of themselves here in Kansas City. I mean, really, you know, it really kills me. I just came from the Richmond Funny Bone in Richmond, Virginia. Sunday night, there were over 400 reservations to see my black behind. But when you're here in town, you have to give away tickets. And it's like, you know, one thing that really upsets me about Kansas City audiences is that, you know, Kevin Hart will sell out the Sprint Center and have to add a new show. And every time he's been here in Kansas City, his opener, who usually is from Kansas City, blows him off the stage. But yet we don't get the support here in town. And it's like, what do we have to do to get you to bring your behinds out to support local comedy? We have a lot of talent. Everybody that he mentioned when he listed that opening roster tours nationally. I tour nationally. We have a lot of comedic talent here in Kansas City. So, you know, Kansas City audiences, thank you for being Kansas City, but could you stop being Kansas City already?
Is there some way that I don't want to say industry, because that makes it sound like it's some giant machine, but like, do venues have a role in this? I mean, whose job is it to make people aware? Because maybe people just don't know that.
They don't care. I mean, we will get on Facebook and send out 3,000 invites, and it'll be like 40 people attending, and we'll put up clips like, look at this clip. This is a bona fide, verifiable, funny guy. Are you coming to the show? Well, no. All right. See, it's the Midwest. It is. And I love Kansas City. I will always love Kansas City. I will always live here. But I'm telling you, weekly, I cannot wait to get on the road and away from the type of
for audiences.
Yes.
Like locally, you know, like some club managers, I suppose, want the youngest comics, the MCs even, they tell them that they should be bringing 30 to 50 people a show. And they want, so they make them feel bad if they don't.
Total exploitation.
When in reality, the truth is nobody's coming because you have Dustin Diamond 3 times a year.
Right.
You know, you have like people that were popular 25 years ago, and that's why nobody's coming to your club.
I mean, I feel like in a weird way, the audience is here like that girl. You know, that girl from high school or college that you chased? And you're like, I got to get this girl. I need this girl. And then they don't care.
Girls. I was a pimp.
But that's what I wasn't. But I mean, you chase that girl. And then so the audience is the girl. And you're like, come, 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 come. And they're like, all right. But then as soon as you leave and do something else, they're like, we're behind you now.
Right.
But they're not going to get on. They're not going to get on board with you until you do something else.
Do you think that there is kind of like an inferiority complex that someone who's here, like a mentality that someone who's stayed here is merely here because they couldn't make it somewhere else? I mean, I don't think there's reality to that understanding.
I don't think there's reality to it at all.
Not
I want to say
all.
That because, like, Mike and I have worked together on the road before, and Mike's phenomenal. He's a great comic, and he's here. That's his decision. Mike could be anywhere.
I have children, so I'm not going to leave my children.
Yeah.
And the thing about when I've seen more comics leave, go to L.A., burn out, come back to Kansas City, try it again, burn out, and come back. If it was about talent, Kansas, I can put the top 10 comics in Kansas City against any city in America, honestly.
So,
but it's not about it is about who you know.
So is it just a matter of audiences, like a number of people coming out, a certain threshold that we can't get past? Or is it a matter of sort of the tastes that people reflect, what they will or will not kind of be open to as far as the comedy?
We have such a diverse group and we have such diverse styles here. My style and AJ, we worked together when we were in Tulsa last month.
About six weeks ago?
Yeah, February, January, something like that.
And his style is totally different than mine. And after the show, people kept coming up going, oh, my God, I've never seen such distinctively different styles mesh so well.
From the same city.
From the same city. And it's like Kansas City, if you would just wait, if you're listening to Kansas City, wake the hell up. And if you see local artists, come support them.
And the other thing I want to add to that, we were working with a guy out of Dallas. The three of us were doing a triple thing. And Dallas is a larger city, and Texas is known for raising good comics.
Really good comics. At the end
of it, he went, you guys from Kansas City are straight pros.
We get that all around the country. All around the country, when we go to a club, improvs, funny bones, whatever it is, A clubs, B clubs, Kansas City comics have a reputation of just coming in and shattering the crowd. And they're like, man, you guys are really good. And we're like, could you email our city and tell them that?
Yeah, because there's a whole lot of where have you been hiding?
Yes.
I know, it almost feels like I'm cheating somehow when you go out there. When you walk into this new city, into a good club, and you just open your – and then just everything you say is just the funniest thing it seems I've ever heard. And it really feels like you're – taking a shortcut, but the truth is I feel the Kansas City, as a question you mentioned earlier, the audience, I feel it's a split. I feel a comedy audience in general can laugh at anything, whether it's a good comic, but in general I think Kansas City is a tough crowd.
Why?
I've seen them I don't know, because it's they just we because they're maybe it's a short attention span.
They make you earn
your they
keep.
Make you earn it. And if you're not funny, they're not going to get it.
But that sounds like a compliment to me,
honestly.
It is
a compliment.
It is a compliment. But if we could get more people to make us earn it out at the shows, that would be good. We don't mind rough crowds. Just, you know, put 400 rough crowd people in there and we'd be fine with that.
Well, especially in the early days when you had a Wednesday, Thursday free beer night and you're coming, it's just you're going into the lion's den. So by the time you're going up as a closer, you're battling 200 people that are hammered because they came out, paid $15, and their intent is to black out before you start talking.
Well, I do want to get back to this audience question a little bit, but AJ, I'm wondering for you, since you have decided to take your career elsewhere, do you think getting your start in Kansas City positioned you in a unique way, or is there something about being from this place that makes you stand out in the national scene?
I do. I think that Kansas City this is going to sound weird because I think Kansas City is a fantastic place to cut your teeth. I think that we are, as it sits, a step below Chicago, Denver, Minneapolis, even St. Louis in some realms, because their population is getting behind the comics and pushing that scene. And so what happens, you can spend a lot of time here messing up at the beginning.
Because there's no one there to hear it.
Well, there's people here to hear it, but there's no industry that's going to remember what you were doing 3 years before they should have seen you.
So that's kind of like a source of freedom.
Kind of.
Is that how you guys feel it?
I want to speak for on behalf of AJ and a couple other guys from here. I think what helps them stand out being from here is not only like their originality and creativity, but it's their work ethics. I know AJ and Mike Baldwin have just for 3 years in a row literally doing every single festival in the country and winning them. you know? So, and it's a work ethic. It's more than just, oh, like, it's more than I'm going to do an open mic Monday and Tuesday and then take a break on Wednesday, you know, see what happens Thursday, which is what I see a lot now. It's a lot of lazy people with excuses, but there's a lot of really funny people in town. There is, but it's an extra work ethic. The upper comics, I think when we were coming up, they weren't as nice. They gave us our vitamins, if you will.
I got slugged a couple times.
Yeah. I mean, so you didn't just show up and get respect, you know, and it really put a lot of egos in check for that as young comics too. So it made you even, again, something else that made you work harder. We were out there doing like as many shows as we possibly could, 7 nights a week if we could. And, you know, and if we weren't working the club that week, we were at the club supporting our friends at the club.
Yeah.
And after the shows, we would go out, drink together some more, hang out. We would, AJ and I can't tell you how many hours we spent in coffee shops writing, like, till 4, 5, and 6 in the morning. Like, it's a work ethic. And that's what makes you.
Because what happened in Kansas City, when Stanford's and Westport closed down, that just created a black hole in Kansas City comedy. Because
what year was that? Can you remind us?
I can't remember what year.
04. It was, I think, because I started in 03, and I was new enough in the scene that no one let me know. So I showed up for open mic, and they were just like, this is closed. And I was like, oh, wow. So my dream's just dead now.
Mike, the Stanford's closure in Westport changed things for you.
It changed things dramatically for the Kansas City comedy scene because we had a mentor, Scott Steen, who would host the open mic. And after you came off stage, he would give you pointers on what you did right and what you did wrong. He didn't knock your creativity or, you know, give you any critique on your creativity. It was all about your professional skills and how to place jokes, you know, how to segue into another joke. We learned a lot from Scott Steen. If he's listening, bro, we still love you. But we learned a lot from, and when that closed, there were no mentors, because when we started, we had mentors, and then we branched out and started hitting the road and the highway and everything, and people showed us how to go about getting booked, who to talk to, who to send video footage to. Nowadays, these cats, we have a lot of talent here in town, but there's no...
It's so oversaturated with mediocre talent. It's hard to...
It is, but, it's a lot of, you know, there's no mentoring, because at one point in time, we were all mediocre talent.
Scott was just a comic either. Scott was he was a writer for Kevin Nealon on The Weekend Update. He had written for Simpsons. He had written for The Tonight Show monologue. So he was like somebody who was
established.
Is an established writer and comic and performer. And
Emery works out of Universal Studios now. He taught me the most valuable lesson I've ever learned in comedy was to write in the shape of a V. Your joke starts out up here wide, and you narrow it down, and you get right to the point. And that's what allowed me to get to true minutes in my comedy routine, like bam, 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 joke after joke after joke. And that was just some of the small things that we were taught then during the open mics. And when that closed, when Stanford's closed, it just created a talent vacuum in Kansas City.
Central Standard's heading to a short break. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit of our guests' routines, and we'll find out what Kansas City thinks is funny. What do you think of Kansas City audiences? Call 816-235-2888. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR and KCUR.org. Coming up later today on Here and Now, if you consider yourself a klutz, there's new research that might explain why. Find out more on that, plus why the Senate is debating a use of force request from President Obama. Here and Now from noon to 2 on KCUR.
Welcome back to Central Standard. Today, we're talking about Kansas City's comedy scene. I'm Gina Kaufman and Dustin Kaufman, host of Cough Drops. Hi again.
Hi.
I can't believe you do the cough, like, joke. With cough drops. Oh, like in my life, the whole like people coughing at me thing.
I think I just did that one time as a joke video promo to get people to come out to the show.
Just teasing
now
you.
Now it all it's surfaces.
Okay. AJ Finney, welcome back.
Welcome back to you.
And Mike Smith, great to have you again.
I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so we were just talking about some of the assets, the real assets Kansas City's comedy scene has. And it sounds like there's a lot of great stuff happening here, and there's this gap between what's happening internally in the comedy scene and the Kansas City audience's awareness of it. Mm-hmm. Is there one practical thing that could happen that could maybe connect the dots a little bit? Or
I feel the Kansas City in general has been growing as far as the people, the arts, enjoying arts community. When you look at things like First Friday and the arts in general, I do feel that it's growing. Is the comedy scene, are they coming out to all the comedy shows regularly? Not as much as they are the art galleries.
No, we're giving like free tickets.
Yeah.
Well, what have the art galleries done that maybe the comedy scene could learn from?
Draw
sculptures.
They only do it once a month, and they put everybody in like a 3-block radius.
Well, that is interesting to have like a district where people know they can go. Is that something that you could foresee for Kansas City?
Comedy district? That would be amazing.
That was Westport. You know, Westport was
They still talk about it.
More
elegantly than you did, but
okay.
I'm just messing with
you. The Uptown Arts Bar has comedy regularly. Like, it's one of the better places for the indie scene and comedy in Kansas City, is the Uptown Arts Bar. Right across the street
that
is Comedy City, yes, which is an improv. And I'm looking for a venue to open a comedy club down in that area, and I had somebody try to sell me the place right next to the improv play. I'm like, I think that's a little oversaturated for one area. Like,
well, that is interesting.
Well, and if it's comedy, you don't really want to try to battle a market right next door.
No, especially if we're going to be doing like sketch and stand up.
Well, AJ, do you think, I mean, in terms of just these, we were just hearing about some major mentors locally who have really helped local comics cut their teeth. Do other cities have that kind of thing, that kind of environment?
From what I've noticed, with Mike was talking about Scott Steen and what he used to do for local open micers. I mean, and it's, some of it is very simple. For us, I think people that came up in that scene understand if you leave a mic stand in front of you, now there's a wall between you and the audience. It's non-inviting. It's very distracting. People, I see open mics a lot around the country. I've even seen MCs do it. And you just go, how do you not understand the basics? Without the basic knowledge, you...
Because there's nobody to tell them to not leave an empty stage. There's nobody to tell them that if you're going to take the mics out of the stand, to move the stand. Like, there's nobody. And, you know, I don't think the better club in town, because there's two clubs. I will say the better one was, you know, the Improv is a national chain. It's real. And the other one just doesn't care. They have open mic regularly, but they just don't care. Nobody's there to tell them, like.
Well, let's help our audience, our radio audience, become familiar with some of what you guys are doing. We've got some clips to play, and the first one is from AJ's show. It's a show in Louisville.
Oh, wow. Did you beep that?
Yes, we have bleeps today. This is from AJ Finney's show in Louisville, Kentucky in 2013.
I'm Irish and Native American, or what my AA sponsor conveniently calls a natural. I've done them all. DUIs, blackouts, blaming the girlfriend's cat for peeing on me when I clearly did it myself. Ex-girlfriend, she didn't get me. She didn't, nor did she have a cat. Every relationship has problems. Louisville, right? Am I saying it right finally? Louisville? Louisville, everyone's been with me all week. I went to see the Louisville play. It's Louisville. All right, fine. You win. All right, from now, for the rest of my life, you see me, I'll be like, I was in Louisville, Kentucky.
I love that. How would you describe your style of humor?
It's probably, I think it was funny that you asked that. I think it's a lot of stream of conscious stuff. And storytelling also.
That is something I've actually noticed. You have a really fast pace and you jump kind of frenetically in a really free association way from one thing to another.
Yeah, I base everything off a similar process that is kind of an improvisational jazz or like the Dead used to do. So I look at it as stream of conscious stuff with bookends, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like
it does.
In longer terms, it's like I'll start here. And then we're going to have – my buddy called it word jams. He's a musician. So he goes, you'll start here, and then you noodle for a minute, and then boom, we're back.
That makes sense. Yeah, that is exactly what happens.
The funny thing is I didn't know that I was doing anything different until maybe 2006 or 2007. And a guy kept bringing me up, and he's like, this guy, AJ Finney, I really love his style of comedy. And I was getting paranoid and upset with him. Until the end, I finally cornered him at the club, and I was like, what do you mean my style? What are you saying? And he goes, you know. And I was like, no, that's why I'm asking. He goes, that stream of conscious thing. And I was like, I do jokes just like everyone else. And he goes, no, you should watch a video of yourself.
Well, you joke here in the clip we just heard about drinking and about AA. Tell me about that subject matter for you a little bit.
I'm 14 months sober now.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. You know, it's funny on the road when I bring that up and people get upset. Like, it's weird. Like, I'll tell people that I've said it a lot on the road where I'm like, yeah, I'm 14 months sober. And they'll go, boo. And I just want to be like, easy, guy. I'm still addicted to things. Like, it doesn't, you know, still issues.
I'll admit that I Facebook stalked you. And in fact, your most recent post says that you're addicted to thinking you're addicted to things.
Yeah, this is the... Yeah, that happened last night. Like, I was thinking about that.
To be creepy.
No, that's amazing. I was like,
Research.
Man, you're really on top of things. No, I thought about that because there's that element of I don't necessarily know what I'm addicted to anymore, but sometimes I get engaged with people that are in recovery. And I don't know if anyone else has done that where it's like, I think maybe I'm addicted to the fact of thinking that I'm addicted to things. Like, I had a friend tell me a story of his battle with cocaine that was literally an epic tale like Tolkien's Lord of the Rings thing. And by the end of it, I was so engaged. I was like, yeah, that definitely would have been me. Like, I would have totally been addicted to cocaine. I would have spiraled my life. That lasts 2 days. And then the wood ends. And then I'm like, no, I'm totally addicted to cocaine. Like, that's me. I was totally addicted. And then like a month later, now you're in a recovery place telling the story. And you're like, hey, I'm AJ. I'm a cocaine addict. And then someone's like, so when was the last time you used? And you're like, oh, no, I've never used cocaine.
I just heard a really compelling story about it.
And you're like, and then you go, they look at you strange and you go, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I might actually just be insane every now and again. So I just realized that I think I'm addicted to a substance I've never done. So I'm going to leave now. But as the group, I want you to chalk this up as a win because you totally recovered me.
Can you talk to me about how you interacted with that Louisville crowd at the beginning of the show? Is that
Are you talking about the Louisville, Kentucky?
Yes, Louisville, Kentucky. But, yeah. You know...
The whole thing was the whole time it was my first time there, and that's where the joke came from. And I was like, yeah, I might go over to that Louisville plant. And they're like, it's Louisville. And I was like, okay. And that happened probably 19 times to the point that my brain finally said, okay, you win, but I'm such kind of an ornery person that I'm not going to say Louisville, Kentucky. I'll say Kentucky, and then I'll just mess it up.
I want to hear a little bit of Mike Smith's comedy. And in this clip, we're going to hear the banter, the opening banter is also kind of the joke. It's another example of that kind of same phenomenon.
Keep it going for Reese. Clap for the Reese. Come on, Saturday night. Come on, white people, make some noise. Black people. Where the f*** are the black people? Brother, right? One. Yeah, like, there's yeah. People that incarcerate people who don't need to be chased down, prosecuted, and incarcerated. Like potheads, leave us alone. We're good people. Yeah. We don't bother anybody. Yeah, we just want to smoke some eat some take a nap. Does that sound violent? No. Anybody here been a victim of pothead violence? No, that does not happen. But see, in Kansas City, we have a federally funded community activist group that's targeting potheads. They had a leader of the community activist group on the radio one day giving out addresses of suspected weed houses. I was driving in my car. I couldn't believe what the hell I was listening to on the radio. It was like 3714 Broadway. Suspected weed house. 4414 Main. Suspected weed house. I was like, slow down, you son of a bitch. You know how hard it is to write these addresses?
Mike,
of all the clips that my mother had to hear this morning,
it was on
you.
YouTube. Mike, you're
so jacked up.
Well, there went my kids.
Yep. I told my kids to tune in. I'm like, see if your teacher will let you listen this morning. Okay.
That's my dad with the pen and pad.
Mike, your banter puts race front and center, so I want to know actually about that aspect of audience from your perspective here in Kansas City.
Race is an issue that we deal with every single day, so when you can make it as humorous as possible. It helps when you see things in the news, such as the Department of Justice report on Ferguson, which I'm trying to develop material on. It makes people sad, but when you make light of things like that, and when you make light of racial issues and make people laugh about it, it makes white people say, okay, we're sorry, but that was really good, wasn't it? And it makes black people say, yeah, that was really messed up, but that was kind of funny as well. And on the road, demographically, you know, I attract more white rural audiences than I do African-American inner city audiences. So it's really, I get to talk about me being from where I'm from in the inner city, and it seems that white urban or white rural audiences go, yeah, we love that. We love that we can kind of peek into your world and have an understanding. And it's no secret that I lean left on political issues. But when you bring up race and politics like that, if you can make it funny, you can break down any barrier that's there, you know, whether it be race, political differences, what have you.
Are our audiences diverse here in Kansas City?
Very.
That's awesome.
Very. It is. It's really cool to see that, although
yeah, you get extremes too on both sides.
Yeah, you do. You get a lot of the problem is that white people don't listen to enough black comics, and black people don't listen to enough white comics, and unfortunately nobody listens to Mexican comics. That's horrible.
On that note,
need to increase the listenership for Mexican comics.
I hate to go out on well, no, that's a good note to go out on.
Yes.
Dustin Kaufman, host of Cough Drops, thank you for your thoughts and observations. My AJ Finney, enjoy your visit.
Thank you.
And Mike Smith, it's been fun learning about your work.
Thank you. Keep supporting Kansas City comedy.
Oh, and I'm going to be in town this week.
Yes, AJ Finney's got four nights of shows starting tonight at Stanford and Sons in Overland Park. When Central Standard returns, we'll hear how humor can help people cope with serious situations, featuring a comedy debut by our own Jenny Witte. Don't miss it.